Jordan, do you think that YY really broke his collarbone, or was this a very well-timed excuse not to go to Ledge Conference?
Oh, no. I mean, if that's really his x-ray, it looks like he broke it pretty good.
You could pull that x-ray from the internet. Come on.
Yeah, you could just do a Google search of broken collarbone. If he did, I feel terrible for him because broken collarbones are one of the worst to break.
Poor
can't
kiddo.
Get a cast. I broke mine like when I was in elementary school, and it took forever. You just have to wear like a backpack sling the whole time. Yeah.
Chasing girls.
Summer. Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
How's it going?
Good. How are you, Jason? Hey, Sam.
Good.
Hi, good to see you.
Long time no talk.
I know. What's that in your background, Sam? Is that Chicago?
It is, and it's 70 and beautiful today. It's like spring. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, spring.
You're crazy.
It will snow tomorrow.
Yeah. No, thank you. You can keep that. are we going to wait on Jeff, or
he's traveling today. So.
Oh, okay. Perfect. All right. Well, I'll give y'all ye old Beer Net Radio welcome. Today on Beer Net Radio, we have Fusion Projects co-founder Jason Freeman and CMO Sam Catalina. Now, I got to give you the OG intro too. Longtime BBD readers will recognize Fusion Projects for Four Loko, of course. You know, you guys, you were everywhere in the early aughts, right? You exploded into pop culture and on talk shows and in the news too for your cult following and, you know, the caffeine as well, which we all get at the bar these days, Jack and Coke. But anyway, but then the feds barred
around. Back in the alcohol, still around.
Right, exactly. No way. But yeah, so then the feds took out the caffeine, but you guys are still a leading player in C-stores, right? I think you're just about a top 10 player in C-stores, growing, gaining share. Today, you guys also have spirits brands like Basic Vodka and some RTDs partnering with Barstool Sports like Mamitas and Pirate Water. So welcome. You guys do it all, man.
We try to have fun. Having fun, what's the point? So
exactly. All right. Well, I want to get into all the new brands, but you know, I think it's important to note that Four Loko is still going strong. And Jason, you know, you told me that Jungle Juice is trending as the number one new item in FMB innovation in USC stores and indies. And I think Cosmic Punch took that title last year.
Yes.
So go ahead,
and
sorry.
Before USA took that title, so Four Loko USA title.
Nice.
So the three-peat.
A hat trick. Yeah. So, I mean, okay, so that said, what are you guys looking at when you're innovating in Four Loko? Because, of course, it's a brand that's super flavor-forward, you know, provocative. How do you keep pulling that rabbit out of the hat?
Yeah, I think that for Four Loko, you know, it's part of pop culture, and it used to be us and a couple other of our friends around, and now everybody's kind of fighting for that space and category. It is the category FMB. Mm-hmm. And so for us, you know, there's only so many fruit flavors or candy flavors that you can make, and everyone has the same ones. And if you look at, you know, especially convenience, but even grocery now is, you know, is selling single FMBs because they have to. You go in there with another cherry berry or another fruit punch, you're like, I have seven of these. What can you give me? And I think the work that, you know, Sam and I and team have done is how do we create a platform, right, where it translates all the way through. And so Four Loko USA is really, you know, about being American. Four Loko is unapologetically American and in your face. And so it was a natural fit. It was right around the Olympics. And so, you know, we built that platform. So that's not only on the can, that's on social media, that's in store, that's how we activate it in events, right? And then Cosmic Punch was the same. It's really an alien theme. And now we have Jungle Juice, which is very, you know, similar, is looking at a platform as opposed to just another flavor that, you know, 10 other brands have. And that's been successful for us. And then we'll continue down that path, you know, as we move forward. And Sam, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's been fun and easy. And I think as long as we keep cans bright and vibrant, just like the brand is, and allow our consumers to, you know, tell and create epic stories like we always have. That's what those SKUs have done for us.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's interesting. I would assume when you guys are describing this, you know, platforms versus flavors, I assume you like wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, I've got it. Or, you know, you probably draw inspirations from some very interesting places.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's definitely a lot. And I think it's fun with Four Loko because there are no boundaries. You know, there's no rules. We can really do whatever we want. There's no book on Four Loko. It breaks all the rules. And so I think our teams internally, you know, the names have come from everywhere, not just Sam and I. And we take them and say, okay, what makes sense and how can we, you know, execute on a real marketing platform? So it's a fun brand to work on. And salespeople want to be marketing people. They give their two cents too. We always listen and try to, you know, make it into an actual, you know, branding exercise. So
I wanted to ask about one of those innovations in particular. The Warheads collab.
Yes.
The Cosmic Punch. Right. Obviously, we've seen like a number of energy players collab with confectionaries.
Right.
Do you see this becoming a trend in beverage alcohol too? And are you eyeing more releases with confectionery brands?
Yeah, I think, again, I think when we were looking at a platform, we saw what was happening, you know, with Mountain Dew and Jack and Coke, the Beast, right? With Monster, we saw these collabs going and we really stood back and looked like what makes sense with Four Loko. Sour is our bread and butter. And what's the sourest candy? It was Warheads. And what we found interesting was actually Warheads candy is, you know, highly majority consumed by adults. So it was actually a good fit for us. So we went to them and they were like, yeah, this sounds like a great partnership. And the retailers loved it, you know, the consumers loved it. And then we could do our crazy, you know, marketing and content spin on it and do alien stuff. And it was timing. It was like, I think there, you know, right when we launched this, there was people finding aliens in their backyard. And we thought the next thing that was going to happen to us, to millennials, were that aliens were going to come forward. So, you know, it all worked perfectly for our platform to create, you know, to create a broader story. So
do you see a lot of cannibalization with your innovation, or do consumers, Four Loko consumers, really get stuck on one brand in your portfolio, or is it more kind of like, I'll try this one day, try this the next, and drink across?
Yeah, look, I think it's harder now than when, you know, say 5 or 10 years ago, because especially in the category that Four Loko plays in, which is, you know, the highly coveted 24-ounce can space in C stores, that's the bread and butter, not only for beer, but FMBs and everything else. And so, you know, it is more competitive where, you know, in C stores, we average, you know, 3 to 4 SKUs, and independents, we average 6 to 8 SKUs per store. Right. So it's easier in the independents, but a lot of the volume is through the convenience stores. So I think retailers want new. Right. Yeah. But we have to balance that with, hey, we have a portfolio of products that really sell. But if you look, I mean, you know, we're net up every year. And so the battle is not, are the brands cannibalizing themselves? It's, can we continue to keep the space and add a plus one, as opposed to swap out a flavor that's moving really well. Right. So we've done a good job that with our sales team and working with our wholesalers to kind of explain that message, like, hey, this isn't just a, you know, consumer swap out. This is actually expanding the category and expanding the sales of Four Loko, which the data shows it is.
And just to add to that, something we're doing this year that's helping the overall portfolio is we're rebranding a little bit on Loko cans. So we're changing the color schematic a bit and making sure Four Loko is front and center on the can. So it's the first time that gold in our sour whole series is getting a facelift. So we're excited that's going to be in market late Q2. And, you know, we think that's going to also help the velocity pick up, because the gold can, you'll see it actually feels like it has diamonds on it now.
Cool.
Yeah, we use some cool ink. So when you feel it, when you see it, it's like a diamond gold on the can.
Nice.
Yeah. So like Jason said, yeah, it's incremental in terms of purchases for consumers.
Very cool. So, and I'm curious, and obviously you want to stay competitive. You want to pop as much as you can.
Right.
Lots of competition in the space. What is your biggest competition in that space? Because when I see you guys, I also see the huge cans of Voodoo Ranger. I see the Chiladas. Right. Like, what is putting the most heat to your feet in the channels?
Look, I mean, this is Loko's in its 15th year, right? And so, which is wild that it's still culturally relevant. It's hard to keep a brand going that long. It's interesting. Like, I don't think, like, we don't compete for consumers with these brands. We just compete from space, And so, you know, for us, if we have six SKUs in a store, eight or a four portfolio, it continues to go up. If we have less, the sales in that store continue to go down. And I think, you know, we own a lot of occasions, right? We own the pregame occasion. It's before you're going out, before you're going to do something, before you're going to the game, before you're going to the club, before you're going to the festival. So you don't have to pay $19 for a beer. You can pick up a Four Loko for $3 to $4. And then you can just have one beer at the game or, you know, one, you know, cocktail or whatever it is. So, you know, I think all the flavor stuff is in there, but Four Loko definitely has its occasion that is untouched and unmatched. And you know, we really know that and we stay in that lane.
So who's the consumer though these days? Is it old farts like me who grew up with it? Younger or who is it? Who is it?
You're not an old fart, but I mean, the interesting thing about Four Loko, it is the same consumer that it was 15 years ago.
Okay. Yeah.
It's 21 to 25. Mm-hmm. And I think Sam and team have done a good job. I hear all the time, like, you know, from people my age and people that started with Four Loko, they're like, oh, it's still around. And I'm like, that's the answer I want, because you should never see a marketing message. Right, you should never see an ad pop up for you.
Yeah.
You never be at a place where Four Loko is advertising to. So we're doing our job, right? And I think the interesting thing is, especially with the platforms that we've created and the innovation, you know, that 21, 25-year-old really think it's their brand. They don't realize 15 years ago the product had caffeine in it or whatever it is. Four Loko is that rite of passage. You know, in that age demographic, and it's part of their night. It's part of their experience. It's part of their spring break. It's part of their, you know, going to festivals. We have a partnership with Live Nation, where Four Loko is, you know, is usually one of the top selling products in their festivals, whether it's Rolling Loud or EDC or any of these massive festivals. So we want to be around fun, and we want people to experience Four Loko when they're having their epic kind of time with their friends.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a good segue into marketing and where you guys play there. Sam, I'm curious, you know, I think you may have said this last time we chatted. Fusion owns almost half the share of voice for total FMB online.
Yeah. So I just had the team pull metrics again yesterday on all of this, and we continuously look at it. And the reason we like using share of voice is it's actually, you know, consumers talking about us. So it's the most active engagement, because it's not just a passive view. It's not just a passive like where you're like scrolling and you might see it, but not necessarily remember it. It's them going in and adding us or talking about us or searching for us. So we still own almost half conversation online across all FMBs. We're still number one in terms of category for online conversation. And it really boils down to what the team's doing. It's funny because they'll show me things on TikTok, you know, different platforms. They're like, we want to work with this person. I'm like, I don't know them. And that's what it should be like. have you heard of this person? Like, he sent me someone recently, and I said it to our social media manager, CJ. And I was like, what do you think? He's like, oh my God, they're blowing up. Neither, you know, we don't know who they are. So they're really good about finding the right moments, conversations to tap into, and doing it in a really authentic and organic way. We're also doing a lot this year. We have cultural campaigns, and essentially we're going into different time frames throughout the year. So, you know, we have USA in gold. We should be talking about Olympics. You know, there's probably something, we're not political, but it is an election year. So I'm sure we're going to have some fun with that, right? Across those brands. Four Loko's voice allows us to do that. It's fun. It's a little snarky. And then similarly, like looking at different platforms. So, you know, this is one that we generally don't talk about, but you know, OnlyFans is a platform that is, you know, has a certain thought on it, but they want to get into more, you know, brand work and not be thought of the way they are. And it's like, if a brand should be on there, it should be Four Loko. So we started partnering with Barstool and one of their podcasts, Only Stands, with Glennie. And, you know, we've kicked that off this year. So we're just doing things that are different. And I think that's what helps keep us relevant.
Yep. There's no rule. Again, no rules for Four Loko.
Yeah.
I mean, they're standard marketing rules we do follow. Okay. So but other than that, we'll get
only the laws.
And the laws.
Beyond that.
We always comply with the laws. They're great laws. We always
the best. We love
and
these laws.
And an interesting one that I can't talk about too much, but we will, is that there's a major production company. We're shooting Four Loko documentary right now, and it'll be on a major streamer. So the whole story is going to be relived, because everyone thinks they know the story, but It's been fun and scary and interesting all at the same time, because we usually stay under the radar after everything that's happened. Basically this major streamer was like, we're going to do this, so you guys are either be involved or not. So we said, okay, we'll be involved. They're like, the story needs to be told. So
yeah, I'm curious why it took this long, but it makes sense. Well, you didn't really have a choice.
We just said no. We've said no. Yeah. And then finally, you know, now the people that are in charge, you know, at the major streamers are like, look, this is cultural history. Like, yeah, we have to tell this story. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It'll be fun.
That's cool. Well, Jay, I don't know if you want to talk about the Barstool Sports stuff, because I know that's definitely top of mind.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I wanted to segue into that. I first wanted to ask about the pregame for Loco. I feel like that's a piece that we don't really see that often. But you know, how's that line doing?
The line's doing really well. It's growing. It's become bigger part of our portfolio. It's interesting when we have pregame and they're 7 ounce, you know, they're 7 ounce bottles in the stores with Loco. It's actually an enhancer to Four Loko. People are grabbing both. Look, the seven ounce category, there's a couple different players that have tried to play in it. Fireball's tried. There's Johnny Bootlegger. There's a couple other players. It's a big category in like seven states. And there's a lot of space for it. And there's some other brands. And we figured Four Loko was, you know, the right brand to do it. And we've done it quiet and slowly. And it's just about building distribution every single year. And like I said, it's really Southeast focused. That's where that package size is very popular. So
yeah. Okay. Well, and then kind of jumping off from that,
yeah,
I was gonna ask y'all, where's the hard tea? But I saw, you know, have a wicked tea in pregame and now tea with pirate water too.
Yeah.
So as FMB professionals, you know, what's your take on hard tea? Is there as much opportunity as people perceive?
Yeah.
Or is that a tougher nut to crack then?
Yeah, look, I think caffeine and alcohol. Hard tea. Oh my God.
It's right? Naturally occurring. Right. Yeah.
Look, I think there's a clear leader, right? And what happens, and it's obviously not an overnight success. I mean, the brand's been around for a very, very long time. And, you know, tea is a very interesting category. But I think, to me, what we see is that, if you want to call it a subsegment of the F&B category as tea, it's going to be like seltzer, right? There's 100 people rushing to it, and there's going to be a clear winner, and there's going to be another two, and then maybe a couple, three, four, fives. And I think for us is we figured that this shouldn't be the lead. It should be an and, right? So if we have a brand like Pirate Water and even pregame, it makes a lot of sense as an and, not try to lead with that, because there is a clear winner there. And I think they'll continue to be a winner. So,
yeah. Well, going into Pirate Water, you know, that launched last year. How's that line doing?
Yeah, it's doing well. You know, in terms of media or the marketing behind it, you know, we're investing as heavy, if not, you know, more so than what we've done before. Who we've partnered with in terms of the Barstool lens is, you know, Brianna LaPaglia, who's blown up in a big way, especially over the last year to 2 years. She's been an amazing partner with us on her podcast. And then we've also partnered with Old Row this year. So we're doing a lot of events, a lot of activations. It's really the number one, you know, in the Southeast, you know, channel they have. And so what we're seeing, we had our first event last weekend. When we sample this brand, people go buy it, especially on the tea. Once they try the liquid, they really like it. They like the brand. It's doing very well in places like that you wouldn't expect it to do well in. So Walmart's a big, you know, very big partner of us on Pirate Water. And, you know, you wouldn't think a 16 ounce single can would do well in grocery. It's doing well across all grocery, and it's because the Barstool logo is front and center. The POS is up, you know, it's priced right, it's placed right. So, you know, what we're seeing, and I'll let Jason add on, but what we're seeing to it is the partnership does really help this brand. And it, it's working in places that it, you know, shouldn't be, and it's starting to really pick up in places that it should.
Yeah. I think for us with this is, again, we've been around for 15 plus years, and, you know, hopefully we're going to be around 15 plus more. And I think the problem today with most brands is you want to be everywhere overnight, right? And it's like shotgun, go, spray, be everywhere. And the problem with that today is there's just too many things out there and too many things going on. And so for us is like, let's steadily grow this over time. And the same thing with pregame, right? We don't need to be up 100% every year. We just want to be going in the right direction, right? And so I think as we looked at this, we saw an opportunity for a different package size. 16 ounces really not got a lot of focus. 24 ounces, the big one, but there is space there that we wouldn't have to take away from highly competitive FMBs and 24s. And that's how we did it. And look, you know, we started with, you know, one of the biggest retailers who we're not supposed to mention, Sam, but, but you know, it's the number one 16 ounce, it's the number one 16 ounce brand family in that major retailer, the biggest in the world. Right. And so, look, that's not as big as a 24 ounce category, but we think with where pricing has gone, I mean, we've seen so much inflation in pricing for beer and FMBs that there may be an opportunity for a lower price point and a smaller package. And that's kind of why we started that with Pirate Water. Again, the Barstool brand and association is massive. 1 in 3 millennials touch a piece of Barstool content every day, which is a wild stat. No one else has that. So, you know, we're growing with them. We're building with them. We're constantly doing, you know, new and innovative stuff with them. And that creates into Pirate Water. So
has it been as successful with Mamitas, right? Because that's also a partnership with Barstool. I know that's different though, because it's spirits based and it goes through Southern Glaciers. And, you know, what's the status there?
Yeah. Listen, Mamitas, again, another slow and steady. We have some beer wholesalers. I think as we open up some other markets, we'll have some more. And so again, for us is steady growth. We have some, you know, big grocery chains, and listen, we've typically been a C-store and indie focused company. Again, Four Locos sold one can at a time, right? No multi-packs, maybe twofers at some of the stores. And so now for us selling, you know, through Publix, which is a massive chain, obviously in Florida, the brand sells really well. It's really understanding programming and getting on that and then expanding, whether it's with Kroger and some of these other big banners, it takes time to filter through. So the awareness of Mamitas is probably as high as Fort Loco. But really? Wow. The consumer really can't find it everywhere. So that's the problem that we're running into. And that will just continue to grow as we think. I don't know, Samuel talks about the awareness stats on Mamitas. It's pretty wild.
It's kind of crazy. We pulled it yesterday, and we've always known we're number one, again, in that share of voice segment within tequila seltzer. And when you look at overall RTD, so if you look at any of the competitive set, we're 2 to the biggest out, and you know who the biggest one out there is, right? Something that we pulled though is our engagement rate is, you know, the highest in terms of any spirit-based seltzer. So we have a really engaged audience. We have a lot of people that, you know about us, are talking about us. Our search volume for the year is up 200% in Google searches. So, and when you look at overall tequila seltzer, it's up 50%. So we're, you know, tripling, quadrupling the actual stats in terms of category. And we just did one of our big music festivals is Tortuga. It's a country music fest on the beach in Florida. It's, you know, exactly who the Mamitas consumer is. And Jason and I are walking around, you know, we have some Mamitas swag on, and so many people know it now. And they're like, you have national awareness on this brand. And it's through what we've done, not only with Barstool, we partner with Caleb Presley on Sunday Conversations. He's wonderful and so fun. He just had Cardi B. He loves the product. If you haven't watched it, check it out.
Oh, he's hilarious.
Oh, it's so funny. And then we also brought on some new ambassadors since we last talked. So Brody Jenner has always been part of the brand. We also now work with Mauricio Humansky and Kyle Richards. So Kyle was one of the original Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. She's still on the show. Mauricio is her husband. He has a show, Buying Beverly Hills, on Netflix. It's actually the number 4 show globally on Netflix right now. And we're featured all throughout that show. So, you know, they're posting online, they're doing appearances for us. So, you know, based on what we're doing on media, on these big events and activations, as well as the, you know, ambassador partnerships, we know that the consumer is looking for us. And it's just a matter now of, as we're getting distribution going, or, you know, making sure we're in stock, because we do have, we pulled yesterday, the amount of retailers we're in for Mamitas, it's 50 plus of the biggest retailers, grocery, convenience in the country. And it's kind of wild. And, you know, we were talking about overall, like how brands grow, and it generally takes 4 to 5 years to get it going. We're in year 3.5 of Mamitas. And so we know that like, it's right at a pivotal point to go.
Interesting. So if I'm hearing both of you correctly, the only thing that may be holding this brand back a tiny bit is the fact that it's spirits-based and can't go through more channels, right? Is that...
Yeah, I think it's spirit-based. It can't go through more channels. I think also spirits-based RTDs getting the share of space is just starting to happen.
Okay. Right?
Mm-hmm. See, there's the clear leader. And then that space is now being competitive with mm-hmm. the malt-based seltzers, mm-hmm. right? So now I think that whole world is shaking out. The winners are rising, and the rest are kind of filtering out. So this year we've gotten a lot of new grocery placements, you know, cold now, as opposed to warm on the shelf with Mamitas. Right. And when it's warm, it's like, we get 3 8-packs in there, and then it's out of stock. We're finding a lot of stocks. Now we're gonna be cold. We're gonna have displays in the store. So in the floor. So we've now built up that credibility with the retailer that we didn't have before, because we didn't have much, you know, grocery product or grocery sales. And this year we'll see a big uptick in, you know, in the sales. And then, you know, as far as innovation, you know, Sam and I've been working on for 2.5 years, perfecting a espresso martini in a can, and we finally got it. And more people are drinking it with tequila now. So that's the innovation here on Mamitas, espresso martini. We'll send you some. It's pretty good.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you haven't had an espresso martini with tequila, please try it. The vanilla pairs so well with the coffee. So it's 8% non-carbonated. We're really excited about this one. Gold can, naturally occurring caffeine. Right.
When does that hit? When will we start to see that at retail?
Just starting now.
Okay.
Yeah, the next couple weeks.
Well, sticking on spirits for a second, I was browsing through your website and I noticed a basic vodka and a Basico tequila. When did those launch?
what the heck?
That was probably about 2 years ago. It was just a kind of a passion project. We wanted to make some really good liquid at a reasonable price. And it has limited distribution, mostly Chicago. We have some good bars and restaurants. It's really, really done on premise. You know, it's low key. We don't talk a lot about it. It slowly grows in distribution because of kind of the awareness of bartenders and the things that we do around Chicago. So again, it was a passion project. It's something we wanted to create, really good liquid at a reasonable price. We saw everything getting out of control. So.
Yeah. So I'm curious. I want to shift gears just a tiny bit. You know, Jason, you mentioned seltzer earlier. Yep. And I remember when Four Loko broke the internet with Four Loko seltzer, right? Yes. It was like the number two trending topic back when you guys were just joking about it, right?
Yep. Yes.
And then you launched it. What was it, like 19% ABV or something crazy?
14% ABV.
14.
Yes.
So has that gone the way of the dinosaur? Is that still around, or what happened there?
No, look, I think one of the things about us is we're willing to put things out there, but we know when it's not there or not. I think timing and everything is super important. That category was really in 12-ounce, you know, 12-ounce slim can packs, you know, for the first 1 or 2 years. You just saw, you know, White Claw and Truly getting into the 19.2s and the 24s, you know, recently. I think we were ahead of the curve on it. We switched focus back to, you know, to other things for Four Loko. So it was a joke for a tweet, and then it was trending all over the world. And then I think in 4 months we had it in market, which is really hard to do you know what it takes to put a product from idea to market. It was a concept. So we moved fast. It was like Fashion Nova of FMBs, but it had its run, and then we just pulled back. So
Well, now you can bring it back as a 4-year limited edition pulse. Right. Yeah, because right. you need that complexity in your supply chain.
Right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with documentary. You might bring some new older consumers right. back into the Four Loko mix for nostalgia. So
yeah, that'll be fun. We'll have a Four Loko viewing party, and I'm sure you guys will encourage that, right?
100%.
Well, you know, you mentioned around the world, and I know international is huge for you guys, right? You're in a lot of C stores in Mexico. You're huge in South America. Some of the fastest growing F&Bs in the UK.
Ireland.
What's it like now? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's super interesting. The first place we were was Mexico, and then we, expanded south, Colombia, Panama, Costa Rica, and then it just continued to go. We're expanding into Brazil. And then we started in Ireland, and it became the number one F&B in Ireland, then Scotland and Northern Ireland. Then we moved into UK. We started in Northern UK, and now we're moving down to London. And it is the fastest growing RTD. And now we're expanding through Europe as well. And then, the highest RTD consumption per capita is Australia. So we're starting production in Australia, in August, I believe. And so again, I think if we look back, to 2010, a lot of the negative press and the cancel culture stuff that we got, really filtered out throughout the world, and people became super curious. Mm-hmm. And now, it is an American kind of badge of honor. And we keep it very, very bold and very unapologetically American and obnoxious, and people love it. They absolutely we get the exact same response, surprising, in every country that we go into. So it's been really fun. We're now starting to make some generalized flavors, for South America, where we'd always kept it real what we have in the U.S. And now we're starting to get a little more localized, which is also really helping with sales. But it's really unbelievable of how all over the world people know what Four Loko is. And we're so stuck in our little box sometimes. You're like, how is that possible? but it is, it is mixed with that and the marketing stuff we do, and social media connects you to everybody. And we keep the brand's fun, right? And the branding's fun. So
is it like a quarter of Four Loko sales international, or how does that shake out? I don't know if
It's about, if you look at total US plus Indy, and also when we look at NIQ data, we're usually underreported because we have a lot of independents. So right now it's about a third. Based on the growth trajectory, I think it could be as big as the US business in the next 5 years.
Wow.
Based on where we're going. So we have good, great teams outside the US. We're not just exporting product. We're actually on the ground, and we're programming and using our platforms across these countries, which is even more. And there's less competition, honestly, in this space and in other places in the world. So
And then in the US, is it the Midwest and the Southeast is the stronghold, or how does that break down?
No, look, it really is the way beer goes, New York down to Florida, Texas, California up, right? We have an outlier in Ohio just because that's where we started the product. There's a little more consumption there, but look at, we go where beer goes, really. Texas, Florida, New York, California are all really big markets for us.
I have one more. Jen was talking about breaking the internet.
Yeah.
Four Loko non-alc. Has it ever crossed your mind?
Oh my gosh. How did I not think of that? Brilliant.
We've done some different April Fool's collaborations. We did one with Mamitas and Celsius, which people loved. We've really thought about it. Trust me. There's nothing that we haven't thought about. The non-alc world's an interesting one. I think non-alc beer is here to stay. Obviously, there's companies that are doing it really well. But non-alc F&Bs, I just don't know. And look, there's a couple of companies doing it. I just don't know how it, I don't know how it transcends, the same way. So it would, It would be funny. I just don't know if anybody would buy it.
Yeah.
Then maybe they put it, have it for fun on their like counter, but I don't think we're going to get like two or three purchases from that person in, you know, in a month. So
just put it right next to Liquid Death, right?
Right. Exactly. Liquid Death is the four loco of water. Let's be real.
It totally is. Like, yeah, you guys should. Anyway. Anyway, on that note. Well, what else, guys? I mean, that was, you know, everything we wanted to ask, some awesome insights, and you guys have got me excited to look out for some new things at retail. So anything else we didn't cover?
Yeah, look, I think we're quiet, so we're sometime forgotten in the conversation of FMB, but that may only be in the press. That's not with the consumer or the retailer. You know, I think we're here and we're always going to be here and we're always gonna be a player in this. And I think the category that we've, you know, been a part of for since we've started is really only going to continue to grow. And we're going to be a bigger and bigger part of that. So.
And we're always innovating. So you never know what's next.
Yes.
Here, so. You never know what we're working on in the lab.
In the lab. I bet you guys are cooking some more stuff up with Barstool Sports, but I'll wait for those announcements.
has that partnership gotten any stronger with the move to Chicago?
Yeah, I think, you know, we're very friendly with the Chicago office and everyone here. The talent we work with, they're still in New York. Okay. So New York or Florida, honestly. But, you know, Chicago, all of our team is in Chicago. So it's nice to have like somewhere to go meet, you know, get to know. And we love the Chicago folks. We just don't do a lot because it's more sports focused and we don't do as much on the sports side. Ours is more on like the entertainment, cultural, that side of things.
That makes sense. Okay.
That's a good question though, Sam. I mean, have you guys looked at getting more into sports? I mean, I'm sure you're in some venues, right? Like.
Yeah, we are. We actually are with Mamitas. So if, you know, there's a brand that could make sense for sports, we talk about it a lot with Mamitas, and you know, similar to how beer is drank, seltzer is, right? Like, and tequila and spirit-based seltzers are becoming, you're at a tailgate, you're wherever, and that cooler is full of likely spirit-based seltzers. So it's something that we're always looking at. I think we're playing around it right now, not necessarily right in it. We've had partnerships with the LA Rams, Jacksonville Jaguars that are successful for us. So, you know, we may move through, but our whole, you know, with Mamitas, especially this year, is like Mamitas everywhere, just because you can consume it on a golf course, in a pool, similar, you know, espresso martini, that's the whole thing around it. So we're good at sports bars, but not necessarily like in games yet.
Right.
Yeah. And Loco, we do a car here, a NASCAR, like we're doing Talladega this year. But as far as venues for Four Loco, we'd have to have a smaller package, and that's not part of the brand. So it's tough for Four Loco and venues unless it's a big festival or something that's, you know, transcending through the weekend. So
right. Awesome.
Yeah, we'll send you the Talladega cars. Fun. We're welcome people back to the jungle.
Oh, that fits. That's fun. That's a lot of fun.
A first or fourth. So that's
oh yeah. My kids haven't seen that movie yet, but I think it's time, you know. They're six
it's a
and
rite
eight.
Of passage. You gotta see it. Gotta see it. It's a life lesson.
Right. Exactly. So many life lessons in that movie. So, you know, what to do if you're on fire. What to do with your hands, you know? Right. So.
What do I do with my hands?
All right, guys. Well, thank you so, so much. And Four Loco keeps on going. I have some pictures that I have to find. I'll send them to you, Jason, right. From my old Loco days, man. All Everybody right. has them.
Right.
But thank you guys so much. Great to talk as always. And we'll talk to y'all soon.
Yep. Have a good weekend.
Cheers. Bye. Yeah. Bye.